The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is, if you're watching with us live on YouTube, we recap every single primetime game on YouTube. It is Thursday, December 16th. For a few more minutes, if you're listening in the podcast form to the Chiefs-Chargers recap, it's probably Friday, December 17th. Join me to break down that. And by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, either live or later, hi, one, two, smash that like button. Joining me to break that game down, a fun, a thrilling Thursday night football game that started slow and built to an incredible climax in overtime, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, boys?
I have a crazy hot take, but I'm gonna set it up a little later. But I want you to just to think about that for a little bit, Breach.
And Brinson, you must have been reading your calendar wrong. I don't know what day it is because it is not December 16th. It's not December 17th. It's National Travis Kelce Day. And I'm celebrating because he's on my fantasy team.
I was like, what did I read wrong? Yeah, Kelce, a huge game in this one. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce both, for the first time in a long time, went crazy. Those of us who drafted Travis Kelce early in our underdog best ball teams are pretty excited because it's week one of the playoffs. If you want 10 catches, 191 yards, and two touchdowns to try and help you advance. That is a good start to the week if you have Kelce. And it really should have been three touchdowns, I think, because Kelce.
Except he ran out of gas at the 1 yard line.
Back at the 1 yard line. That's right.
Or he was just so.
Still my tweets.
So walked into getting a 69 yard reception instead of a 70. And that's because the touchdown would have been 70.
Oh, you can tell he's running out of gas. He can just get guys draped all over him. He's like, come on. Yeah, monster game from Kelce, especially in the second half. Patrick Mahomes, 31 of 47 for 410 yards, three touchdowns and a pick. Those Kelce Mahomes stacks are looking pretty good. If you're playing a Kelce Mahomes or a Tyreek Hill Mahomes stack in the fantasy playoffs, I bid you good day, sir, because it's over.
Just bench everyone on your team and don't even put yourself through the drama. Right. Like, you're not winning.
Surrender.
Bengals ended up.
Really bad beat if you had Chargers plus three or Chargers plus or really Chargers 3.5. That is a tough beat because the Chiefs won by 6 in overtime. The Chargers were up 20. Were they up 28-21?
Yep.
And the Chiefs came back and Mahomes hit Kelce. I really didn't think that Mahomes in this game looked particularly like Justin Herbert played way better than Mahomes.
Let me give you my hot take real quick.
Okay.
Next 5 years. Yeah, you're talking about the Denver Broncos, let's say. Oh, and you can take Justin Herbert or Patrick Mahomes. I'm taking Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
So you're saying if you don't have Andy Reid involved?
Yeah, just a neutral team, neutral coach, you know, average team, average coach. Not saying that the Denver's average. Pick an average team, average coach. I think I'm taking – I love Patrick Mahomes. And I mean, Breach just poo-pooed it immediately. But, I mean, the course of this season, how it's unfolded, it's sort of hard to argue that Patrick Mahomes has been – light years better than Justin Herbert. In fact, you could argue that Justin Herbert has, in fact, been better than Patrick Mahomes. And again, I love both those guys.
If you were taking Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Andy Reid out of the equation, then I think you have a pretty viable argument.
You can leave him in the equation. I don't think it's a slam dunk one way or the other, is it?
I'm saying that if
You wouldn't say over the next 5 years, I want Justin Herbert over Patrick Mahomes.
Right. I'm not trading Patrick Mahomes for Justin Herbert.
Right.
Although that would be fun, but I'm not going to do that.
My point is just that Andy Reid matters a whole lot in this equation more than anything else, I think.
Yeah. Let's maybe let Herbert even get to the playoffs before I'm taking him over. I'm not going to write off Patrick Mahomes.
Whoa. Let's not put words in my mouth, Andy Dalton supporter, who's never won a playoff.
What? You put the words in your mouth. I'm just interpreting them for the people who think you're crazy right now.
I just said, okay, so listen up. Get the wig that you cut off your head and stuffed in your earballs. Listen up.
I mailed it to Brenton, so I'll have to mail it back.
That's how the hair plugs work. Average team, average coach. That's it. I'm just asking you, it's not outlandish to think that Justin Herbert.
All right, so Hugh Jackson's the coach, and you think Herbert would be better with Hugh than Mahomes?
What's the team?
Well, take Joe Burrow off the Bengals. What are you doing in that situation?
I'm taking Mahomes.
Okay, that's fine. But I mean
it's not like out of this.
It's not crazy. No, it's not crazy.
Herbert,
I'm not saying Case Keenum versus Patrick Mahomes.
Now, here's the other question. If you, let's say the trade happens to Joe Burrow goes down for some wacky NFL rule allows the Bengals to replace him with either Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert, I think you 100% take Justin Herbert because he's still on his rookie contract.
Yeah, I think he might fare a little better behind a, not terrible, but, you know, replacement level or worse offensive line. Mahomes moves.
Well, I was going to say, I actually disagree with that, Brenton, only because Mahomes is under contract through 2031 and Herbert will have had a big contract by then and you'll be paying him way more per year in the end.
I'm saying right now Justin Herbert is a more valuable commodity because of his his low contract.
Yeah. Yeah. Breach. And by the way, this is the same guy I'm talking about myself who has to apologize every time he talks about Justin Herbert because I was so wrong about him coming out of the draft. So yeah, I'm willing to own that and own my
mistakes. Made up for with Mac
Jones. Let's table the Herbert versus Mahomes discussion for a second because that's a good post-break talk. I think we do have to dive right into the thing that everyone's talking about, which are the analytics. The Chargers went for it on fourth down. It felt like 15 times. It was actually only 5. They went 2 for 5. The Chiefs went 0-for-1, and I believe, I didn't actually hear this because it was muted, but a friend of the podcast, actually, I guess he's never been on, we should have him on, but Darren Smith in San Diego Radio, who listens to the podcast and is a good friend of mine, texted me and said, Howie Long said, we can't even spell analytics, but tonight they took a beating. And
why can't we spell it?
I don't know, but apparently Howie Long can't.
Fair enough.
I'm pretty sure Terry Bradshaw can't spell analytics. Or
cat.
dog.
There's an old thing where some defensive player said that Terry Bradshaw couldn't spell cat if he spotted him the C and the A.
That's right. I forgot about that. I do remember that, Ryan. So people are up in arms about this. And like, for instance, Pete Prisco. If you had to guess where Pete Prisco stands on all this, where do you think he stands?
He's very progressive in all aspects of his life, so I'd imagine he was go for it on every situation in fourth down.
Learn the game.
He's like, Brandon Staley, idiot, moron, cost his team the game. Going for it on fourth down? Please, take the points. Should have been up 7.5. Mm-hmm. I thought the field goal at the end of the first half probably should have kicked it, and I know that the math, the analytics say to go for it, it added, I think, like two – the two first downs in the, I think were there two in the first half or three in the first half?
Two what?
Fourth down attempts.
Three.
Two. Right. Two and then the field goal, correct?
Two they missed inside the 5, the opening possession and the possession right before the half. And then
they had one in the middle of the field.
Fourth down conversion on the Jalen Guyton touchdown drive.
Yeah, three. Yes. I didn't mean the field goal at the end of the half because they didn't kick the field goal. Here's something, and we talked about this when Blank used to be on the podcast because he said, why didn't that team definitely should have not kicked the field goal at the end of the half because the analytics says go for it on fourth and goal from the 1-yard line. But as I remember at the time, Breach and I explained to him, the math is that you're backing the team up if you don't convert.
You don't get that at halftime.
Right. So I would have kicked it as well. But I would imagine Staley has probably run more simulations than we have, and he probably felt good about it or whatever.
But it's not even, again, that's where, like, you know, we talk about the numbers are black and white, but there's so much gray area with numbers and simulations where you're thinking, we're up 14 to 10 right now. If we kick the field goal, we go up 17 to 10. The Chiefs get the ball first in the third quarter. So worst case scenario, when we touch the ball for the first time in the third quarter, we're not losing. Maybe we're tied 17-17, but we are guaranteed not to be losing. And so that's how I'd be thinking. And you know, if I'm Brandon Staley, I'm also saying the Chiefs have not stopped us on offense the entire first half, didn't stop in the entire game. So that final possession of regulation,
one, the whole game,
right? So if they haven't stopped us the whole entire first half, and we if we get the ball, our first possession of the third quarter, either leading or tied, we should win because now we're ahead possession wise because we're basically getting the first possession of this new game.
But Bridge, so, the only thing, and I agree with your conclusion, I don't agree necessarily with how you got there in that they should have kicked it. But if the Chargers or Chiefs aren't stopping them, that's why you go for it.
Well, no, because the Chiefs were stopping on these short yard. I mean, we saw the well,
which is it?
We saw the fourth down plays. There were 2 for 5. You can have a good short yardage defense and get blown up and down the field. It's the old bend but don't break, Wilson. We see it all the time. It's not, it's a different, you got to think differently. I think as a coach, you can't say, hey, we're going up and down the field. Doesn't mean we're converting on 4th and 1. That's not automatic.
If you were a pair of shoes, you'd be flip-flops.
No, I would be. Explaining, you are a coach who doesn't get it right now. And you know, the funny thing, the one thing, even though the guys in Fox didn't seem to understand the analytics, one thing Terry Bradshaw, I mean,
Troy Aikman is the halftime studio.
No,
but I'm saying that Troy Aikman in general just cannot shut up about analytics. Like, it drives him nuts. He's like, well, you know, Joe, the analytics say here that you gotta go, but I'm just not so sure. And he's just, you can see how gleeful he was every time they failed.
But Terry Bradshaw made a good point about the team's emotions going into halftime. He's like, you saw after that play, the Chiefs running into the locker room, they were, you know, all excited, and the Chargers were walking in with kind of their heads down like they had just lost the game. And so there's an emotional element to it.
But yeah, I think we all agree that kicking there felt like the better decision.
Yeah, and the other thing too is you want to have good plays called. It didn't feel like the plays that the Chargers had drawn up for those fourth downs were necessarily, I mean, I want to say that they're like plus EV or minus EV, but they just didn't feel like stout plays that were going to succeed, you know?
So I don't have any issue with going for it on the fourth down, so Staley went for it. And I think if you're committed to something and you feel comfortable with it based on the research that you do, and I would imagine they have analytics people in that building that every week sort of update what they're doing, I'm fine with it. And I'm fine being committed to something, because what we get angry about when we do these podcasts is people that flip-flop back and forth, and you don't know what the hell they're going to do, and no one on the team knows what they're going to do.
Man, and the other thing, too, is we always say you can't beat the Chiefs kicking field goals.
And that's the other thing. I mean, Breach is right about the end of half. I don't agree with how he got there, but being up a touchdown seems to make sense. I would have done that. There's no benefit to pinning the team back at the 1 yard line with 1 second on the clock in the second quarter. The other thing I wanted to ask about, and we can circle back, but just quickly, when and Breach tweeted about this, when the Chargers scored late in the game to make it an 8-point lead, and Breach wondered why they didn't go for 2. I think the analytics said don't go for it. I don't know what the math is there, but I don't see what the
downside. Why would the analytics say not to go for it?
That's why I said, I don't know. I have no idea why I said that.
Because and that was the weird thing, is like Staley's going for it on fourth down, being hyper aggressive. And then you're up 7 points. And if you go for 2 and you succeed, you're up 9, which is enormous because that's 2 possessions. If you kick, you're up 8. Now, maybe the math gets you to a place where I don't know how you get there.
There's no way you don't. If you are like going analytics and you are just, hey, it is like Brandon Staley studied every chapter of the analytics handbook, except for the chapter where you want to go up 2 scores on a team in the fourth quarter with under 5 minutes left. There is no reason not to go for 2 here, especially, Brinson, it's your favorite thing. It's game theory, because if you fail at that 2-point conversion, you're up 7. You know who's not going to go for 2 on his next touchdown? Andy Reid. So at worst, you're playing for a tie. We saw at the end of the game
There's no one on earth who's going to argue with you except Brandon Staley, apparently.
Well, so it didn't make sense for him not to go for 2 there. And if they get that, maybe they win this game. So I don't know why you're going for on every fourth down and being hyper aggressive. And then on the one play where you can maybe put the game out of reach, you decide you're not going to be hyper aggressive.
I like to, there's a tweet from Mike McClure of our friend of the podcast from Sportsline and Early Edge podcast. You should check it out. They do great stuff. But McClure tweeted, he's like, everyone in the world thinks Brandon Staley's an idiot right now. He's like, the old people are mad because, you know, he's going for it on fourth down. And then the actual sharp people are furious that he didn't go for two on that after that touchdown.
I actually was fine with the way he called the game. I had issues with the field goal at the end of the half that he didn't take and the 8 versus 9 point lead that he had a chance to convert. I was curious about that. So Breach, no one tweeted at you as to why it made sense mathematically just to settle for the 8?
No.
Okay.
I did get one tweet that said that where a guy cussed at me.
Good.
Let's see.
And in fairness too, like on some of those fourth down plays,
can you shut the F up with the analytics, you dumb B?
That dumb B?
That's a duck.
B and
It rhymes with
snitch.
Yeah, I know.
And starts with a B.
Maybe he's calling you dumb breach.
That's what. No, he didn't write B. He wrote the word that rhymes with snitch and starts with a B.
Yeah, I see. You're
dumb britches,
something like that.
Your pants.
There's no way you don't go for two there.
Yeah, right. But on some of the fourth downs too, and I was ripping the play calls. It is worth pointing out, as I think some people in the chat noted that. And if you're in the chat, you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button. Let's get those numbers up. We'll give away a freaking hat.
Can I just say generally that I love this game. This game was fun. I don't know if it necessarily reveals any strengths or weaknesses about these teams that we didn't already know. It's not like one team just laid an egg. What?
Well, I would say two things that sort of flew under the radar just because of all the analytics talk. Although this got mentioned a lot on the broadcast, Chris Jones is a Jenga piece for that Chiefs defense.
Sort of important.
Hugely important. I mean, the Chargers were able to pound the ball, run all over them, do whatever they wanted in that run game. And then Trey Pipkins, who filled in for Rashawn Slater, did a really nice job. That offensive line for the Chargers had a fantastic game. And that was key because, you know, with no Chris Jones, you know, and no Slater, you know, how we didn't know how those would cancel each other out or how that would have an impact on the rest of those units. And clearly, you know, I mean, the Slater loss is big and he'll be back, but the Pipkins was able to step in. That was a big game for him.
And also, so Mike Williams dropped a touchdown is that right? That he did.
Mike Williams had 3 immediate end zone targets. The Chargers ran the ball down. They pound the ball down with Eckler. They get down there, and then Mike Williams is targeted 3 times. Can't pull it in. Had a drop, and then the next play, the fourth down, was the Parham play.
So Mike Williams Parham technically dropped it, but he was concussed when he hit the ground. And Jared Cook dropped a ball that could have been a touchdown. But as for even though we're yelling and screaming about the fourth down stuff, actually, we're not. People are upset about it. There are a few instances that we pointed out. That's why I don't have any issue with Brandon Staley's play calling. Because they could have won the game certainly by whatever, 5, 6, 7 points. The Donald Parham thing was scary to watch because he just hit his head. And we see guys hit their head every week. And sometimes they go to the sidelines and for a breather. And sometimes, you know, they go into the blue tent. But he was obviously knocked out, and it's called when your arms like go up like his did. It's called it's called fencing in terms of concussions, because it happens a lot. We've seen football players do that.
It's like an involuntary reaction, right?
But when your brain gets sloshed around your skull, basically. And I would just advise, and I've talked about this before, it drives me crazy. I would advise people who cover these games, like television broadcast folks. I would have a conversation and inform the camera people and the producers and say, hey, here's an idea. If someone gets knocked out, let's not put a camera right in their face like someone who's being sort of, you know, a jerk about someone who's potentially seriously injured. And I get the camera person doing their job, and I get the producer at the time maybe didn't know what was going on, just thought he was like injured and he just dropped the ball. But I mean, they show gruesome injuries when people break their legs or whatever, and they show this sort of stuff. I mean, these people have families, man. They don't want to see their sons or husbands or fathers laying on the ground. So just something to think about. I'm not blaming anyone for being a jerk, but it's something that you could be a little more sensitive to going forward, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm with you. And then we're not trying to criticize another network's broadcasting.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying.
But I think a sweeping generalization too. Like, so
people need to be informed about what's going on. That's all I'm saying.
Now, just a couple things on that. I agree with you. I would also add that the Chargers had no update on Donald Parham. He was sent to the hospital for further evaluation. And
right.
I thought Fox did do a good job of that, saying, look, we don't have an update because everybody wanted to know about it. But in doing so, they kept kind of circling back to it. And at one point,
yeah, just leave it alone.
They show him being carted out and his hands are shaking. And Joe Buck said, we don't want to speculate on what may have happened. And then added that it's very cold for Los Angeles down on the field tonight, which was a very weird thing to interject. I think, and look, I think Joe Buck's awesome.
I think it's one of those things where he didn't know what to say. He was trying to.
It's a tough spot. It's a really
perhaps
tough spot.
Make people feel good who are watching. I don't know, but you're right. Just don't talk about it. Say Parham's at the hospital, and we'll let you know what we find out. But more importantly, don't have the camera shoved in his face. And again, I'm not blaming the camera person or the producer. They may not have known. They didn't know the symptoms or whatever. But just going forward, let's try to be a little better.
And again, I agree with you. It's also, if you don't show anything, if you just go away from it, because I know that, I think that we've done that sometimes with these big CBS games where, like, they'll come back for commercial, and Nance is like, hey, we're not going to show you the video. It's a pretty nasty injury. But it's also, it's a tough spot because you do want to give your viewers, you want your viewers to know what happened in most
Here's
cases.
The thing. If we're not showing dumbasses that run to the field and try to, you know, make a spectacle of themselves, we cannot show injuries. I mean, it's pretty simple. And what happens is we get, you know, Harlan doing the play-by-play of the cops chasing down the guy on the field who's drunk.
This guy is drunk.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. We don't need to see it. Just say, you know, Donald Parham is down. He's not moving. They're checking on him. And then, you know, let's say a prayer for him and let's not scare the crap out of his family and friends. That's all I'm saying. I'm not blaming Fox. I'm just saying in general, because everybody does it.
I think it is a perfectly reasonable suggestion to broadcast booths and production crews. So you said there are no sweeping, no real sweeping generalizations. I mean, the Chiefs are probably going to win the division now.
Oh, so
cool. Well, let's finish talking about Parham real quick. Is that he had an evaluation for a head injury, and he was in stable conditions. That was the good news because he was taken to the hospital immediately after that.
And he was able to move his extremities, do we know?
That was not part of the update. But okay. Stable condition is obviously good instead of like critical or, you know, something that could obviously be worse.
All right. We'll take it.
And then one little minor nitpick. There was like no mention of, I guess Mike Williams was just fine, but there was like no mention of, because he got hurt on
the previous player.
The play before. And I understand that the Parham thing is taking precedent over it, but it was.
Well, he came back out there, so he must have been okay.
He went out there for like a little bit and then.
Yeah. He missed the next possession. And then was back on the field.
And look, the Chargers never sent out a tweet about Mike Williams either. So, I mean, yeah, it seemed like Fox was sort of getting stonewalled by the Chargers, who understandably were not, you know, overly concerned with Mike Williams, who appeared to be fine because they had the Donald Parham situation on their hand. It's a tough situation for everybody involved. And we are glad that Donald Parham, who is awesome, I love Donald Parham, is doing okay. This holiday season, the best deal in wireless is at Mint Mobile. Right now, when you switch to Mint Mobile and buy any three-month plan, you'll get another 3 months for free. I got to tell you, you talk about three free months of anything right now, I am interested. Because I don't know about you guys, around holidays, the old boss downstairs gets a little loose with the swiping of the card every which way. She's like, I've talked to plenty of people. This is a perfectly reasonable Christmas budget. Like, I haven't talked to anybody. You're just making it up and telling me that. So you
learn
know
the game, Brinson.
Yeah, that's right. Learn the game. But that's why Mint Mobile, trust me, Mint Mobile, cost-effective, highly efficient wireless service. Have used it. It's fantastic. They do a great job with it. And it's simple. It's the first company to sell premium wireless service online only. No brick and mortar. So they cut down on the cost. Mint Mobile lets you save a ton with phone plans starting at just $15 a month. Take advantage of this limited time holiday sale and get any three-month Mint Mobile plan plus three more months for free at mintmobile.com/pick6. That's mintmobile.com/pick6. PICKSIX. Go check it out and get your wireless plan slashed to a much better rate, and then you can afford Oculus VR or whatever your child wants for Christmas. Oculus VR, what are we doing here?
Yeah, my nephews were playing that when I was down there for Thanksgiving.
Did you try it out?
I did not try it out because they were too busy playing it. I didn't want they were just going crazy, and you know, I almost got stabbed like four times. That's how it works.
Right? You don't believe this, but I've never even heard of Oculus VR.
I'm not. That is literally the least surprising thing I've heard in the last 6 months.
Get them a Game Boy Tetris. See if they like that just as good.
That's probably will not. Smash that like button. We're trying to give away a hat. Got to get the numbers up, though. Keep hitting it. We have enough people watching the show to get there. So if you hit the, if you haven't hit the like button yet, hit it now, and we will.
And look, if you're hate watching, hit the hate button. It's the same button, and we'll just know that you mean that you hate us instead of like us.
Is it the same button?
I'm just trying to fool them.
Oh, right. Yeah, if you hate us, the thumbs up is thumbs. If you, give us a thumbs up to confirm that you do hate us. If you are,
Just turn your computer upside down and hit the thumbs down button.
We're actually Debo's going a lower number tonight than usual. So yeah, we should be able to get there. Smash that like button, guys. Okay. So Chargers Chiefs final score. If I'm pretty sure I mentioned it, but 34-28 in overtime, the Chiefs cover the over hits. It was a 14-10 at half. So a ton of points in that.
Could have been 17-10 at half.
Could have been 17-10.
You know what's funny is that
what
I was actually thought they should have kicked the field goal on the first drive more than the halftime drive. I was 50-50.
Going for it from the five was pretty.
From the five, fourth and goal from the five is pretty aggressive. It's not easy to score down the end zone because only have a.
They had like two touchdowns though. I mean, the Mike Williams had a couple, and then Parham unfortunately hit the ground. He had caught the ball.
I mean, that's true, but they didn't. You know, like
But I think that Brandon Staley's mindset was we're not going to beat them kicking field goals.
No, that's what Brinson said. And he said that people used to think that you can't beat the Chiefs kicking field goals. But in my mindset, I'm thinking we just got a 75-yard kickoff return to start the game. They stonewalled us in three straight plays from the five. So, you know, we didn't do anything. We didn't even gain a yard. So why not just get some points, put them on edge early, take the early lead. You know, if it's from the one or two, it makes more sense. Go for the touchdown from the five. It just seemed
if you're playing the Jaguars, I sort of get it because, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to score 2 points.
That's the other part is that if you go for it and don't get it, you're not playing Jacksonville. If you're playing Jacksonville or Houston, they're going to get the ball at the 5-yard line. You feel like you're going to safety them. You give the ball to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense. Yeah. They have a legit shot of scoring a touchdown.
Ryan, they went 11 plays, 95 yards for a touchdown. Right. Absolute march. And it at that point, it was like, oh, man. Are the Chiefs back?
Yeah.
But, I think else to keep in mind, like back in my graduate school days when I was less dumb than I am now. And you're right, Breach. There is no black and white. And when you talk about risk, and this is about taking risk, Brandon Staley's risk. He's a risk taker. I'm probably more risk neutral, and you're risk averse in some of these situations. And that's fine. That's just how you are. Now, the probabilities, when you add them all up, say it's in your best interest to go for it. But if you're risk averse, you're still risk averse. You may be less inclined to do so. So maybe that's something to keep in mind. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I don't hate it. But I was fine with Staley's decisions to go for it. And I typically have agreed with most of the things he's done. And I'm sure maybe that'll change if he continues to not convert. But I like the aggressiveness.
I was just scrolling through the Ben Baldwin bot. And so fourth and five at the KC five, the first drive. What's that?
What do you say on that one?
Recommendation strong, go for it. Adds 3.1 win probability to it. Herbert incomplete to Parham. Parham gets hurt, of course. It moves it from 40% to 43%. And then the fourth and one at the KC 33, go for it, medium, go for it. They get it. And then fourth and one at the one, which is at the end of the first half, was just a medium, adds 2% win probability. You know,
let me ask you this, and this is from Clarence G in the comments. Thank you, Clarence, for joining us. I don't know why you have nothing else going on in your life, but thank you for joining us at all these live shows. He asks, "Is Bill Belichick kick the field goal at the end of the first half?" And I would add to that, Breach, does he kick the field goal on that first drive?
Yes and yes.
I think that's right.
Belichick kicks the field goal in both those situations because he thinks it's weird because Belichick, he makes fun of analytics. He understands it, but for whatever reason, he knows when he needs to put points on the board. I mean, I remember, and I'll just say this real quick, in Super Bowl 51, which actually ended with the same final score in overtime, 34-28, they were down 28-9 in the fourth quarter with like 8 minutes left. and he kicked a field goal to make it 28-12. And he was getting grilled on Twitter, and everybody's like, and you know, the people who knew what was going on was saying, well, you're down three scores, you have to get a field goal at some point, so why not just get it now? Because then that cut the lead to 16. And so, you know, somebody like Staley might think, let's get the touchdown now because we're already down here, and maybe we'll kick a 55-yard field because we don't have to get as far down the field. And you just kind of start outthinking yourself, whereas Belichick's saying, no, we got to knock down this tree first before we can get to the next tree, and that's what I'm going to do. And so that is part of the element that I don't think that, you know, maybe Staley's, he's a first-year coach. He's just not as seasoned as another coach, and I think that...
Well, I don't think he's freewheeling, though. I think that might be a misperception. I'm sure he has people talking to him about, and they probably have a part of this a weekly game plan.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't disagree. Like, I don't have an issue with anything he did in this game. I mean, I thought he's shown he's going to be aggressive, and he didn't make any terrible calls, and he's not the offensive coordinator. So when he makes the decision to go for it on fourth down, he's putting it at the hands of Joe Lombardi. And, you know, maybe he'll have a talk with Lombardi. Lombardi will say, well, we had two drop passes, and this all should have worked. So it's just a matter of where do you want to be when these plays are happening. Do you want to be up 17-10 going into halftime? That's a lock. That's 100% field goal. You are going to be up 17-10 unless they somehow block it. Kicks inside the 25 do not get blocked. So, or do you want to maybe be only up 14-10 or have a chance to be up 21-10? Those are the things you have to think about when you're thinking about these things. So this whole thing was like a giant case study in analytics, this entire game.
Yeah, and look, I do think, you know, there was a big discussion on CBS that people talk on the with Coach Cower and Phil Sims that people were getting all up in arms about. But I thought that Cower made a really good point. It's like, I mean, and this is the point made by, you know, a lot of people, like, you do have to take into account like what is happening in the game, because the analytics are not taking, you know, are not like they, you know, there's a lot of stuff being plugged in there, but they aren't taking into account. I mean, I hate to say momentum. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to like justify momentum or dog going for it on fourth down. I like going for it on fourth down, but I do think that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is getting the ball back after halftime. You're up 14-10. You can be up a touchdown, as Breach pointed out. You know, you could guarantee that when you get the ball back, you are not losing or trailing. And I don't know. Sometimes I think that matters. Like, I would.
So, Brandon Staley's speaking right now as we're speaking. And of course, he was asked about that and what he said. And I put this in Slack. He said the quickest way to win a game like that is to score touchdowns, not field goals, especially sure. considering who's on the other side. And then he followed up, John Breach is an idiot. So take that.
You'd love to see it.
That hurts. That hurts, Brandon.
So that what's hurts. Your follow-up question to that if he says that to you, Breach?
My follow-up question is, then why the hell didn't you go for two on your last touchdown and That's put this
follow-up.
Game out of reach, Brandon?
That's
you're
a good follow-up.
Either doing the analytics or you're not.
The issue for me is that when something like a game like this happens and everyone who hates going for it on fourth down, like the Pete Priskers of the world, or like the like Mike Florio was like, these misses might throw the numbers out of whack. They're going to wreck havoc on the, it's like, no, man, they have the it's four plays is not going to wreck havoc on the percentage of like people going for it on fourth down. They have like years and years of stuff that they put into this. Please stop. And if it is like people come out to dance on the grave of analytics when the fourth down conversions don't convert. And the issue there is that the whole point of the fourth down stuff is that it's about process, not results. Like you're not going to get the fourth down conversions 75% of the time. That's what the math says. There is a certain percentage you're going to convert. And that means sometimes you're going to miss it. So when you miss it, you can't be like, oh, well, I mean, this is an idiot's idea. It's just, you know, it's going to be like a 55% type of thing, right?
You're doing the math and you're splitting the points. So you go for a touchdown half the time, that's 3.5 points. You kick a field goal, that's 90%. That's 2.7 points or whatever.
Exactly.
That's the math you're doing. I have a question. Can we hear Brandon Staley live and in person? Debo, what's up?
For one and scored, you might have won the game. Can you talk as a coach how you balance that? I know it's just not easy.
For sure. It's a great question, and I love the answer. It's life in the NFL. When in decision making like that. And I think that from where my mindset is that I know that the quickest way to win a game like that is to score touchdowns, not field goals, especially considering who's on the other side. And to me, when you feel like you're in an advantage situation, when you don't feel like it's a gamble, when you feel like this is an advantage for you, then that's going to be our mindset. Okay. And I don't think that any decision that I made tonight was a gamble. We felt like it was an advantage situation for us, and that's why we did it. If we didn't feel like that was the case, then we would have kicked a field goal or we would have punted. And that's the way we're going to do things around here. And, you know, I know that our team embraces that mindset, and we're going to continue to do it every game we play moving forward.
See, I that is this Love is why Brandon, this is why Brandon Scherff is awesome.
But did he get asked about the 2-point conversion?
I'm assuming he will. But his point is absolutely correct. If you believe you have an advantage, if it gives you a leg up to go for it on fourth down, then you should do it. If you're not going for it on like fourth and 9 from your own 35, you know you're going to punt in that position. But he is, you know, you're setting up your offensive game plan and you are calling plays. You know, when it's 3rd and 5, you're setting it up so that way you have an advantage opportunity on fourth down. That is out leveraging everyone else. Well, not everyone else, but like,
well, and there's a lot of theory to prove that. Where at college overtime is a great example where the team that gets the ball second knows what they need, so they always can go for it on fourth down. Whereas, you know, the first team that has the first possession is playing a normal game, and so. If the team always is going for it on fourth down has the advantage, then why wouldn't you just do that the entire game? So, like, everything Staley is doing makes sense. We're just saying, in the context of the game, was this the gray areas? Was this correct there? The black and white, yes, it's correct. It's absolutely correct.
I'm fine except with it. This is why I love Brandon Staley. He's my new crush, I think. But, you know, how many times on this podcast when we do the live shows have we said, why in God's name did that team on 3rd and 10 throw a 40-yard bomb when all they had to do was get 5 yards or 6 yards, knowing that they have 2 downs to continue this drive late in the game? It happens all the time.
We
yell and scream about it, and it's just sort of weird. I mean, we all agree that Brandon Staley is aggressive. We like it. Some just less than others, and whatever, that's fine. But, you know, it is weird that the pushback, I don't want to say mostly from the old timers. There's some people who are young and don't like
it's mostly from the old timers, though.
Mostly from the old timers. I mean,
it's just like when Chip, you know, like, or even, you know, Chip Kelly came to the NFL and, like, well, trust me, this guy's gonna crash and burn, and I can't wait to see it.
Well, and I think that this game right here becomes the case study on why the old timers get mad, because when you see that your team was tied at the end of regulation and that they left 3 field goals on the board, because that's the mindset, that's what you grew up watching, that's what you know, and you're saying, God, if we would have just kicked the field goal once, we win this game. Whereas Brandon Staley's thinking, yeah, well, if we would have gotten 3 touchdowns there, right, then we
and you had this, 2 of them,
then we win this game 49-28. And
Mike
it's not
Williams
even
drops
close.
One, Jared Cook drops another. We don't even have to worry about the Parham catch if Williams catches the first one. And by the way, all these field goals and someone mentions this in the comments, kickers always make the field goals they don't have to actually kick. How do we know? I mean, there's still a percentage that you're going to miss one of these kicks. You mentioned the chip shot, whatever, that's fine at the end of the half.
Well, I mean, all the fourth down, the one on the 5-yard line too, most of the Chargers ones. But even on the Jared Cook one, it was a drop, but it wasn't a great throw from Herbert considering he only had to throw it 6 yards.
Well, I mean, Jared Cook did the hardest part, hit both his hands, and he dropped it.
That is true.
By the way, the other thing that Staley did that I thought was really smart, and people were like quick to pounce on it, like, was the Chiefs were lining up to go for a play, and the Chargers looked very confused on defense. And Travis Kelce had just caught a ball and fell on his butt, and the ball had been stripped out. Mm-hmm. But he was ruled down by contact. And Brandon Staley runs out, and we didn't see him, so I don't know that he threw the challenge flag, but I assume he did because they said, you know, LA's challenging it. Everybody's like, what a terrible challenge. Staley, oh, your analytics god sucks now. This is life on a text with Pete Prisco. But I think that he realized he challenged as a way of calling timeout. You know what I'm saying? Whereas if you challenge and you think you're probably going to lose, it costs a timeout. But there is a small percentage chance that it's overturned and you get the ball back. So, like, if you're going to call a timeout.
Wait, anyway, so you're saying he was planning to call a timeout there?
I think he was going
to
call a timeout anyway because the defense was confused.
Why?
Because the defense was running around very confused, and it sounded like he called a timeout.
It was the first play of the possession, though. Like, the Chiefs had just taken the field. They ran one play.
Breach, 2 words, game theory. Moving on.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, more coaches should think through that if that's the case. Like, if there's a challenge,
the only problem
play,
is though you're still going to lose a challenge in the first half, so that's something you have to consider.
Yeah, that's what I think. Was it second half or was it first half? Maybe it was first half. Either way,
I think it was.
I'm not. And now I'm looking. Brinson talking about how the bot said that the, it made more sense to go for it on the fourth and five in the first quarter than the fourth and one. That doesn't make any sense to me, because why does being up 7 points on the first possession of the first quarter help you more than being up possibly 10 points going into halftime?
Well,
that doesn't make any sense.
Well, the win probability
and one's from the 1 yard line, one's from the 5 yard line.
It's because the win probability on the first one was from 40 to 43, and the win probability on the second one was 63 to 65.
Right. The difference on the second one just doesn't make any sense. If you're going up two scores and a field goal only puts you up 4 points, I mean, it just the second one just doesn't seem like it adds up.
Hey, here's the thing. Maybe I don't know what this model is. I haven't seen it. Maybe it factors in the Chiefs.
Well, and that's the other thing is there's different models.
Yeah, that's right. That's
trying
right.
to decide if you should go for it.
And the whole thing about this modeling is that every model, I mean, the whole idea for models is trying to fit models, simple models to explain complex events, and whether it's, you know, social science or sports. So yeah, people have different ideas of what affects what. I mean, go look at Aaron Schatz and Football Outsiders. Their model in terms of measuring stuff is different than what Pro Football Focus does, I would imagine.
There's going to be like an Ace Ventura sequel where a kicker kidnaps his coach because he didn't let him kick a field goal all season because they went for it on fourth down all year. We should write that.
All right. Yeah, that's enough on the analytics. This is
let's move on. So let's talk about the coin flip, if we could. Oh, I'm kidding. I was
analytics on that. What do you call heads or tails?
Hey, sit out Melvin Ingram. But it was weird, but whatever. Who cares?
Breach. Brinson was ready to go.
Oh, they sit out Melvin Ingram as an honorary captain versus Chargers, I bet.
It was a revenge coin flip, I would imagine. I'm joking about that part. I do want to talk about...
You're supposed to play the dunk button because Wilson's making fun of you for the coin flip conversation.
All right, so we're gonna give away a hat. If you're in, as I just wrote in chat, if you've been hanging around for the hat, we'll give it away in a little bit. But let's talk about the overall picture. Now a 2-game lead in the division for the Chiefs, 4-1 in the division versus 2-2, with the Chiefs having, let's see who they have left. They have their Steelers at home the day after Christmas.
Loss
for the Steelers, probably yes.
Yes.
On a 10-day break. I mean, Andy Reid off a mini bye. Then they're at the Bengals. Ooh, this is fun.
All right, here's the wins over Wilson spread for that game. -97 for the away team.
The Bengals going to be favored by that many? That's crazy.
No, they're going to be underdogs by 97.
Why 97?
This division's, the Chiefs have this division locked up. There's no way they're losing it.
And then they're at the Broncos to close out.
Just go 2-1, they win the division no matter what the Broncos do.
So let me ask you that, Breach. I think I agree. I 100% agree with that. I imagine Brinson does too. Now let's talk about, they're now the number one seed because the Patriots haven't played yet. They play on Saturday. Who's going to win the AFC?
I feel pretty good about the Chiefs right now.
I mean, the Patriots played the Colts. That's a huge game for them. If they get over the Colts, I feel like the Patriots are not in the driver's seat, but I feel really good about the trajectory of that team.
I think worst case scenario, the Chiefs go 2-1. And that's worst. So they're either
13-4 is going to win the
or 12-5, and then the Patriots. I mean, it's a little dicier because they have the Bills too.
The Bills that scored 6 points against the Jaguars.
The Bills that played 14-10 in a windy mess.
And the Patriots could easily go 0-2 in their next two games. Wouldn't be crazy. Against the Colts and Bills.
Not easily.
It wouldn't be an insane thing to
have Mac Jones.
Agreed.
All right, what about the Titans? They're 9-4.
I was going to say, don't sleep on the Titans. They are 9-4. And they have the Dolphins and Texans still on their schedule.
They're going to lose this week, but after that, they can get hot.
Yeah, but they play the 49ers too.
The Steelers, 49ers at home on Thursday on a short week. That's a pretty good spot for them at least, though. So east-ish coast.
Let me ask the most important question. If the Steelers beat the Titans and the Chiefs in back-to-back weeks, are they going to make the playoffs?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Yeah.
All right.
So the Texans, I think worst case, go 2-2.
All right.
Titans.
I'm going to take the Patriots to win the division as the conference as we sit here. Breach, are you taking the Titans or the Chiefs?
I am taking the Chiefs.
And it sounds like Brinson's taking the Chiefs too. Is that right? Or you want to sprinkle a little bit on the Pats?
No, I think I like the Pats.
I mean, Wilson, let me ask you this. What is the percentage chance you think the Steelers beat the Chiefs?
I'll put it at 9%.
I'll put the Bengals chances at like 25.
No, that sounds right. Maybe even 33.
Yeah, I don't think it's that high. And then the Broncos. High. I mean, the Bengals definitely have the best chance out of those three remaining teams, but they're still, the Chiefs are going to be favored in all of those games. Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs.
But here's the thing, Breach. This season, it feels like it's been crazier than any other season. And week to week, you have no idea what's going to happen.
Like, especially with COVID. And that is the thing that's going to throw a wrench into this. I mean, the Browns are going to have 12 players on Saturday.
Well, we should point out, too, that the NFL on Thursday changed its protocols. So now vaccinated players can test off of the COVID list.
But not until next week, not starting with week 16.
I thought they were saying they could do it. They weren't going to go back on the test, but they can still test out this week. So if you're playing on Sunday,
Baker Mayfield was all upset because they wouldn't.
He was mad. He was mad that they came in and tested a bunch of guys. There were positives, and then they changed the protocols.
Well, no, he was mad that they told everybody they wouldn't have to test in the morning, then had possibly infected people practicing together, and then told them after that practice they would have to test, and that their players might have infected each other, even though they thought they weren't going to have to test.
Well, the Browns are kind of hosed because if you went on the list on Thursday, you would have to test. Like, you would have 2 days in, or you would have, you know, you wouldn't have 2 days because you're playing Saturday. But yeah, I mean, the protocols are different, which will help the rosters. Hopefully,
Any way that the Chargers?
That's what I was going
to
ask.
Go south as opposed to hang around at five, or perhaps, well, they're not going to get above five, so I guess five is as high as it could go.
Oh, somebody in chat asked. Arjun Jaswal asked, any chance do the Chargers make the playoffs?
So here's the thing. The Chargers are going to win out, I think. They play at Houston, then Denver, then at Vegas. I think
2-1, worst case.
65% chance they win out. Is that too high?
Maybe a little high, because two of those are divisional rivalry games. And look, the Broncos are 7-6 and fighting for the playoffs. Vegas 6-7, but not technically dead at all.
I'll say 55%.
And they're both on the road.
No, the Broncos.
No, the Raiders game's on the road.
Yeah. I mean, there's a chance they could. I think they're more than likely going to go 2-1.
And 2-1, that'll get them 10 wins, and they're in.
Yes, 10 wins is probably going to get you.
It will 100% get you in.
I mean, you look at.
Yeah.
Probably. The Colts, who are right behind them in the wild card, obviously have to play the Patriots this week, and that's not. Very good chance they end up losing that game. The Bills play the Panthers, obviously the other wild card team right now. And I think we all agree the Bills probably win this game, but so if the Bills, say the Colts lose because they're playing the Patriots, the Bills win, they're 8-6. And then you have the Bengals Broncos winner, also 8-6. So there's definitely going to be a lot, you know, the Chargers winning this week is the only 8-5 wildcard team. Now they're in a log jam, so at least it's conceivable that they miss, but I don't think they do.
If you know what's annoying, Wilson, is that so we have 4 weeks of football, 15, 16, 17, 4 weeks of football left, minus one game. Every single week, I'm just make sure, every single week we're going to have to hear how,
oh God,
the Bengals are the key to the playoff race in the AFC because they have the Broncos, Ravens, Chiefs, and Browns.
That Browns game might be the Sunday nighter with a wild card spot on the line.
They don't have any players.
Like the Bengals are going to determine who ends up winning the AFC North and who gets the number one seed.
By the way,
it won't be Bengals podcast.
You sort of glossed over this, Breach, but the Panthers, who have to play the Bills this week, they're currently 12th. They're not out of the playoffs race. If you're David Tepper, do you hire Urban Meyer since you're playing the Bills? Pick his brain.
That's the only team. Urban Meyer 2-0 against the AFC East this year, 0-11 against everyone else. So maybe
there's a path.
Boom. Maybe the Bills should hire Urban Meyer. Doesn't lose.
One thing I noticed, some folks talk about this in chat. I think it warrants mentioning. We were talking about Mahomes and Herbert before. Patrick Mahomes looked bad at various points of this game, and like 70%
back to my hot take. That's sort of what put the seed in my head.
Well, I mean, Mahomes looked on the scripted first drive. He looked awesome. And you're thinking like, holy crap, the Chiefs are back, as we said earlier. And then he looked really good on the drive to tie it at 28 all, where, but he was running a lot, you know, 32 rushing yards.
It's some good runs.
Yeah. It's some good runs, but he was like dirting balls and.
Well, he missed the touchdown to Mecole Hardman when he didn't have the laces. And Quincy Avery, who's a quarterback's coach, he worked with Deshaun
Watson. Wasn't that the fourth down call?
Yeah. He worked with Deshaun Watson. He worked with Trey Lance. And he said on Twitter that the laces aren't the issue. Anybody can throw a ball without laces. He said his footwork is so sort of wonked up that that played a part in him just throwing the ball in the dirt. And that we talked about the Chiefs missing those short touchdowns. That was the worst miss of the touchdown throws. He was, you know, wide open.
Chargers, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I don't see, and that's where, you know, in Wilson's Herbert thing to start the podcast, where I don't know if we all watched the same game. I didn't really feel like Herbert outplayed Mahomes. I mean, Patrick Mahomes came up absolutely clutch in the fourth quarter. They had three drives of 75 yards or more touchdown drives starting with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And that's why they won this game. And Mahomes obviously engineering all three of the 75 yards. Not like they got a fluky play and had like a 10-yard drive. Three touchdown drives of 75 yards or more over the final 8 minutes of the game.
No one's saying that Mahomes wasn't better down the stretch when he was, but I mean, he was like kind of running around making playground stuff. There's a guy that slipped on a, I mean, I don't know.
And counterpoint, using Breach's dumb logic, Ben Roethlisberger is as good as Patrick Mahomes because he lit up the Chargers defense.
Counterpoint, they punted once in the entire game.
Couldn't hear you. Get dunked on. I love it.
There's something a little bit off about Mahomes. He wasn't garbage. It's just there's a standard that's been set by Patrick Mahomes.
It's basically his fault for being so good.
If 410 yards and three touchdowns is being off, then like good luck.
All I said was I like both quarterbacks a lot, but I would take Justin Herbert, I think, on a neutral team with a neutral coach. That's it. And you're taking it as a personal affront.
That's so weird.
No, you guys both said Mahomes struggled and didn't look right.
He didn't look right the first half.
Well, he went 12 of 16 for 112 yards. He only threw four incompletions, and one of them was a drop. What do you want from him?
Dude, he's completing like low 60%. He's completing like 64% of his passes over their 70 games.
I just told you he completed 75% of his pass in a first half where Ryan said he played bad and didn't look right.
And he finished with 65.9%. So
the other incompletion. The other incompletion was an interception at the -1 yard line, dumb. I mean, is that a
tipped interception that this Herbert threw a tipped interception too?
We could all agree that Patrick Mahomes had a very nice game and also didn't look like Patrick Mahomes at the way that we've expected him to look the last few years heading into the postseason. Like that's a concern.
We're in a world now where Brinson is the voice of reason and you're the hot take artist. What's going on?
All right, we got a winner.
This guy's crazy. Who is it?
What was my hat?
Debo has spun the randomizer, and the winner is. Debo, on a drum roll. A little drum roll. Jen Silvius is our winner of the hat. Congratulations. You are now part of the elite hashtag Brinson.
Welcome to the club, Jen.
Have you mailed the hats, by the way?
Tomorrow I have to mail them. I will do it. They'll be overnighted to you, Debo. So hopefully, when are you leaving?
Tuesday.
Dang it.
Might have you send it to Pennsylvania.
Send me that address just in case. So your mom can get the, I'll put a bow on it and I'll say, please open Miss Debo. And she'll be like, why do I have 25 Brinson Sucks hats for Christmas?
Yeah, who's Brinson?
Oh, that's that guy that Debo always, she calls him Debo, that he hates.
That's a guy that Eric talks mean about all holidays.
Makes him work so hard. He's a moron. And
he talks about him at every single dinner.
Debo's Southern accent. We finally got it. I didn't know Debo's mom was from North Carolina, but that was good.
All right. What do we want to do? Wrap it up? Call it a day?
Yeah, Breach needs to regroup after all that crazy talk he just laid on.
What was my crazy talk?
That we're insane for saying that Patrick Mahomes didn't play up to Patrick Mahomes standards for the first 30 minutes.
Your argument is like, he had tons of passing yards.
He threw the ball overhand.
Yeah. No, he didn't throw. He 12 of 16.
What does that mean?
I
mean,
why do you keep citing this first half stats?
Because that's when you said he played bad. That's why. You guys said he played bad in the first half, so I'm giving you his first half stats.
No, I thought he had multiple drives where he looked like – but that's sort of the thing. It's like almost adrenaline based where he looked like comfortable Mahomes and he was, you know, making plays out of the pocket, doing playground stuff. But by and large, I just thought that he was pretty, I don't know.
He was great down the stretch, but he struggled getting started. That's it. That's all we're saying. And by the way, let me ask this and then we can bonk if we want to. Let's say these teams meet in the playoffs. Who are you taking? And know this.
Where's the game?
Well, it'll be in Kansas City because we're assuming that Kansas City's going to win the division and, you know, they'll be ahead of them. But remember this. Justin Herbert is 2-1 against the Chiefs coming into this game. Should have been 3-0 if you remember that week two game is rookie season where he had a chance to win that. I blame Anthony Lynn for that loss. So
is it divisional round or AFC title game?
Why does that matter?
Because Andy Reid off the bye.
Well, he's not getting the bye. Oh, I see. Right.
Number one seed. So if the Chiefs get the one seed.
If it were divisional round and the Chiefs had the number one seed, I guess it wouldn't be Justin.
No, but let's say my Patriots are going to win the division. So this will be win the conference. So this will be a
no bye
for anyone.
If it's wild card, I want Mahomes.
In Arrowhead, though.
Yeah, but I just think if you're talking about Justin Herbert's first playoff game.
Yes, no, first playoff games are jittery and usually a disaster.
All right, I'll give you some points, too. So -4.5.
Hey, just be in Kansas City. Yeah, that's probably right. It's probably good. If it's -4.5, I'll take the Chargers and hope you don't get your back broken in overtime.
Breach.
I am taking the Chiefs.
I'm taking the Chargers to cover and to win. I'm going to write this.
I mean, Brandon the Chiefs didn't have Chris Jones tonight.
Chris Jones is a big deal. No.
And Rashawn Slater, obviously not out there either for the Chargers. Yeah. So it's
But the Chargers offensive line was not a problem.
Played well, right.
I am blinded by my love for Brandon Staley and Justin Herbert. I think that's I'm just being honest.
Being a Chargers
Ryan, did your heart break tonight knowing that the Chargers now are probably not going to win the division, which means Justin Herbert probably not going to win MVP?
I will. He's already won my MVP, so it doesn't matter, Breach.
MVP of your heart?
Of my heart.
Yeah, I think I would take Chiefs to win, Chargers to cover if it was 4.5. Look, the Chiefs have been a tremendously flawed team all season long that hasn't played well, that's been criticized by people as being the biggest disappointment in football. And as we showed a few minutes ago,
the Bills are like work.
What's that?
And now they're the first AFC team with 10 wins.
And they're 10-4. They're 10-4.
The Bills would like a word about being the most flawed team in football.
No, I just mean that like the Chargers have not had a great, you know, this
first
is not
8 weeks of the season were not great. That's right.
The Chiefs have not had a great season.
When's the next time the three of us are going live? We have a special podcast coming up, don't we?
I don't know. Are you going to make it some weird announcement we don't know about yet?
Saturday night. Saturday night live. Except with us. Is that trademark? Can I get sued for saying that?
Are we going live on Saturday?
That was Debo told me.
Yes, we are. Okay. We are going live on Saturday.
I guess Debo told me and not you because he didn't want you on the show.
No, I remember him telling us in the chat. It's just... My wife's gonna be in the way.
Sorry, I had to break it to you.
I keep like
you guys looked really sad to have to hang out with us.
The commercials keep going up on TV, and AK's in the living room, and they're like, two games on Saturday, gonna be wild.
Do you think she notices, but really no idea?
Like, do you hear that? And she'd be like, what do you mean there's two games today? I'm like, what do you mean?
But she doesn't care that you're doing podcasts at midnight. She's not gonna be
tell her that CeeDee Lamb is playing.
Oh,
programming note, we will not be live on Christmas.
Thank you.
To recap those two games, but we will be live this Saturday to recap Carson Wentz's victory.
However, I will be live on my YouTube channel with my 18-month-old opening her presents. I know everyone wants to see that.
That YouTube channel, by the way, youtube.com/breachlovescats. So check that out.
Somebody said it looked like I sucked a lemon when I heard that we were going live on Saturday.
Yeah, you didn't seem happy about it.
You did not.
Another programming note, Wilson will be live on Christmas doing HQ because he takes his job seriously.
Brinson is going on vacation starting tomorrow night so that he does not have to be on the Saturday show. He will be returning Sunday.
previous 15 weeks.
I'm taking maternity leave? Paternity leave?
Personal day, I think is what they call it. Breach loves cats. What if that's actually his cat video page?
What if he had a YouTube where he just pets cats all day?
What if there is a website called Breach Loves Cats, but it's not mine, and it's not appropriate, and Ryan just sent everyone there.
I don't think Wilson did that. I think Debo just did that.
No, but I made
it. It says it on there. Yeah.
I made up the URL.
Let's see. I want to see if there's anything there.
There's no way.
Just click the link.
It's locked.
Oh, my God.
It's a private channel. Only true cat connoisseurs are invited.
It's a private channel. Subscribe on Breach's Patreon to watch him pet cats in the darkness of his office.
Only cats.
I would pay to see Breach like pet a tiger, like in a cage with him wearing like a meat jacket or something.
Oh, tigers love me.
I would pay to see. You're the tiger prince. Tiger King's already taken.
Tiger Jester.
All right. Well done. Let's go.
Great. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We will be back on. So we have the pick show will be the podcast feed on Friday morning, of course. And then, as mentioned, we'll be back on Saturday night to go live. Oh, after Patriots Colts. That'll be fun. So we have lots of bets going in that game. Let's get action.
Congratulations, Jen, on the hat. You did it.
Yep. Good job. See you guys later. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Smash that like button for Wilson and Breach. I'm Brinson. We'll see you guys later.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.